All right, happy Monday, everybody. And today I'll jump right into my question for you. My question for you is, when is the last time that you were righteous in your anger? What do you think back to that time where you were super angry, but you were also correct? You were had every single right to be angry. Then I'll ask you a follow-up question, which is, did your anger benefit you? Plus, later on in the show, we're going to be discussing the Team USA track star, Sha'Carri Richardson. You remember her. She was the one that was smoking pot and then wasn't allowed to run. Well, she's recently been ejected again, this time from an American Airlines flight after a fight with a flight attendant who told her to stop using her phone. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about black privilege. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. All right, so we all get angry. Anger is a very normal human emotion, and there's no person that spends their entire life and has not felt angry before. And so the question is, are you righteous in your anger? Have you been righteous in your anger? You say, okay, do I have a right to be upset? Do I have a right to be yelling? And of course, we all come across circumstances where you absolutely have a right to be angry and to be yelling, but should you do it? Does it always benefit you? And I think about this often because it's very hard in my position not to find an excuse to be angry every single day. Politics is very frustrating. You get angry just probably following politics like I get following politics. And then when you're involved and you comment on politics and you're a known person, you naturally lend yourself to a ton of conspiracies on the internet. And by the way, if you have even a little bit of exposure, like I do, people want to benefit from that exposure by creating conspiracies about you, right? So they figure out that people like to comment and click articles about Candace Owens. So why can't I just make up something about Candace Owens and then I'll get views and I'll get clicks and hopefully I will generate money for myself by making conspiracies up? I mean, I've faced all sorts of conspiracies about myself. As just one example, recently, and it's been making its rounds on the internet, somebody put together a photo collage of me with one of my best friends. My best friend's last name is Schwab, and they have somehow deduced that that must therefore mean that this person is related to Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, and that therefore ties me in with the World Economic Forum. Completely ridiculous. Schwab is a very popular German last name. In fact, there is a town close to Munich, right next to Munich, called Schwabing. But never mind the truth, obviously. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good conspiracy. And this has been shared many times, this photo. Another one of my favorites is regarding my father-in-law who sits in the House of Lords. And somebody deduced that there was a Rockefeller that also sits in the House of Lords. I think that was the conspiracy. And therefore, I am connected to the Rockefeller family because my father-in-law sits in the upper chamber of Parliament. Makes entirely no sense. That would be like saying Matt Gaetz is therefore related to Nancy Pelosi and is therefore somehow related to the mafia because both him and Nancy Pelosi are in Congress. It's foolish, but people don't care if it's foolish because there's something about the mind that likes a good conspiracy. And it makes me angry sometimes. Not those particular two, I laugh at them, but sometimes it makes me angry. And recently, you probably saw me appear on the Tim Pool podcast last week, and I was angry and I felt righteous in my anger because I was so confused by the fact that this time a conspiracy that was being circulated about me and my colleagues was coming from somebody who was supposed to be a friend, Steven Crowder. It wasn't a good feeling. It made me frustrated because I was suddenly getting inundated with so many people accusing me of being a fraud, accusing me of having a $50 million contract in which I'm enslaved. I'm enslaved to big tech, accusing me and my colleagues who have done nothing wrong in this circumstance, who don't even have that same contract, of somehow being enslaved. That was essentially the accusation. And because of the popularity of Steven Crowder, we were inundated, quite literally inundated with comments of people believing this conspiracy, absent too many facts, really omitting facts that would have removed people from believing that conspiracy. And so I was angry. I felt righteous in my anger on Tim Pool when I was defending who I am as a person, right? And this morning, as I was praying, my husband and I are in 1 Corinthians right now. I came across this, and I wanted to read it to you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23 to 24. It reads, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. And that really stuck with me. Because I have a right to my anger, right? I have a right to my anger, but is it actually beneficial? And in this circumstance, I would say it was not beneficial for me to be angry because in my anger, I removed myself from something that was quite obvious. I was not able to see the big picture. Essentially, I missed the forest for the trees. Over the weekend, I was given a lot more information regarding Steven Crowder, a lot more background information regarding what could have possibly led to this moment. And not to my surprise at all, obviously, this really doesn't have anything to do with the Daily Wire. And his actions are a symptom of something much larger. And I want to choose my words very carefully here because I'm not angry anymore. Steven has a lot going on. I guess is the best way to say it. He has a lot going on, and that should be clear because people don't do stuff like this if there's not a lot going on in their lives. You don't sell out your friend. You don't record conversations. These things are actions of individuals that are perhaps acting out of desperation. You have to dig deeper. You have to look deeper to fully understand the picture of why somebody might do that. And it's certainly not because somebody is upset with a $50 million contract. And because I now am more aware of certain information, rather than being angry, I would like to implore my audience and everybody that isn't paying attention to the situation not to condemn him, but to pray for him. Sometimes people need a prayer. Sometimes people need a scripture. You know, Stephen purports to be a Christian, and I believe that he needs to lean into his faith. And I am certain that in the near future, more information will come out. I do not think it is my place to say more than that. Well, probably what I should say is I am unsure at this moment if it is my place to say more than that. You know, maybe if I feel in further defense, something should be said, or maybe if I feel that the public has a right to understand certain circumstances. But at this moment, I think I would just like to carefully back out. I am genuinely praying for Steven Crowder. I am praying that he is reminded that there is always help in the form of the Lord. And again, I implore my audiences to just hope that he finds the truth and that he comes to the truth. And honestly, from the bottom of my heart, that is all that I'm going to say about that. All right, I want to take a second to talk to you guys about Masterworks. Masterworks is the first platform making it possible to invest in multi-million dollar artworks and receive proceeds when the painting sells. Masterworks makes it easy to create a diversified art investment portfolio by acquiring new artwork every week on average. Get in on this while you can. Paintings are selling out in minutes on Masterworks, but you can get priority access at masterworks.art/Candace. That's masterworks.art/Candace. See important disclosures at masterworks.com/CD. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. All right, let's start with Sha'Carri Richardson. Her name might be familiar to you. She's an extremely talented young track star, track and field sprinter to be specific, and she had qualified for the 2020 Summer Olympics, except on July 1st of that year, it was reported that she had tested positive for cannabis. And essentially, that invalidated her win and made her ineligible to compete in the 100-meter race at the Olympics. And people were outraged by this. People were a mixed bag of emotions. Obviously, she's a young Black athlete. She made it all the way to the Olympics. We were basically told that she had a very tough childhood, and that is true. Her mother was not in her life. She was raised by her grandmother, and essentially, the story went that she was told by a reporter at the Olympics or surrounding the Olympics that her biological mother had recently died. And so that was why she was smoking pot to deal with the anxiety of that, even though her biological mother was not in her life. I'm not saying that that doesn't create anxiety. If you find out that your biological mother is dead, I would be upset. But as an excuse to use drugs, when you know that they test you for drugs, I think it falls short. Anyways, despite this, especially, I would say, Black commentators who we all know how everyone was feeling around 2020. It was very BLM, and this is such an injustice of what's happened to her. It's okay, she'll be back. And we wanted her to be back. I wanted Sha'Carri, like I said, she's a tremendously talented young woman. I want her to come back and I want her to be successful. But people don't become successful by handing them excuses. So to people that said to her, it's okay, we get why you were smoking pot, finding out about your biological mother's death is very upsetting, that is not helping Sha'Carri Richardson, right? By making this some sort of, oh, black people are dealing with emotions, that is not helping Sha'Carri Richardson. What it's actually creating is a mentality that she has black privilege, right? That I have excuses, I'm black, I'm suffering. That is handing somebody excuses, and that actually creates mental privilege, not the opposite. Don't believe me? Well, recently, she was ejected from an American Airlines flight because she was fighting with a flight attendant who stopped her, who asked her to stop using her phone as they were going to take off. And so I'm going to show you the video of her on the plane, and you can kind of discern what's happening. Take a listen.
They sit all the way under the seat in front of you.
Lying.
Larger carry-on luggage goes in the
overhead. Flying not working today.
If you have small
vacation time,
such as cell phones, tablets, and smartwatches, okay, please switch them.
I'm recording me, but you jumped in my video, so I caught you because you jumped in my video. You're harassing me at this point, so I think you should stop. I think you should stop. I think you should stop. You see him, right? Y'all see him, right? Y'all see him, right? Okay. Okay, but I'm sorry. It's not me. Talk to him. No, don't talk to me like that. I'm an adult. Do not talk to me like that. Do not talk to me like that. Tell him to stop. If you do not know what's going on, do not yell at me.
You can stop recording.
No, I'm not going to stop recording because I was making a video to myself. I'm going to not stop recording. And this video will show what you're doing. So I appreciate you. Who the f*** are you talking to, ma'am?
We don't need other people to get
involved. Thank you. No.
So the follow-up to this is that she talks on Instagram. She basically gets escorted off of the flight. That's the update. And people burst into applause. You've been on these flights before. There's just one person. They're acting like an a-hole. And you just want to get to where you're going. You know, I just want this flight to take off on time. Please, just don't be that idiot who can't abide by simple instructions. You have to get off your phone. I've been the person, by the way, who's been on the phone trying to wrap up a phone call before I take off. I sit down. When the flight attendant comes and says, you need to get off your phone, I just simply get off my phone because I'm not special. I have to abide by the rules. And it's deeply ironic that she's choosing to wear a mask. There's no longer a mask mandate on planes. There's probably, I would say, 5% of people that are still wearing them. She's decided to abide by this non-existing mask mandate, but she can't listen to him when he simply asks her to get off of her phone, and it requires her to get escorted. And she's cursing, and then she's mad at somebody else in the plane who's probably saying, hey, just get off of your phone. There's no reason to cause any drama. We all just want to leave. We all just want to take off on time, right? We all are in this together, so to speak, right? But she can't listen. She can't listen. And instead, she tries to make herself a victim. And she starts recording. And they ask her to stop recording. And she says she's doing this to protect herself. And it's just, to me, an example of black privilege. I see it all the time. This is a true story. I used to live in Washington, D.C. And I remember right before I gave birth to my son, I was 8.5 months pregnant. And I was walking in Georgetown, and clearly there was a girl that was in some sort of a rush as I was crossing the street in the crosswalk, and I had the green crosswalk sign. She wanted to make a right on red very quickly, and she almost hit me. 8.5 months pregnant, this girl almost hit me. It was a young black girl. She was driving the car, and she rolled down the window to say something rude to me, and I called her an idiot, right? You're an idiot. I think I even swore at her. She whips out her phone to record me. As if I had done something wrong, right? She just wanted to make a right on red. She was going right across a crosswalk. She almost hit a pregnant person. And her instinct was to whip out her phone and record. And you want to know what I said to her? I said, if you're first off, I said, look at my skin color. I'm black. So if you're recording to paint yourself as some sort of a victim because you just almost hit somebody, you've got the wrong person. And I think at that moment, she realized, why am I recording? This has become some sort of a protection for people to make themselves think that they're a victim. They instantly start recording, and really what they're doing is they're trying to threaten the person that they're recording, knowing that there will be very little context added to the situation, and they can just pretend that something bad is happening. So maybe the young black woman that was in the car when I was crossing the street, if she had recorded and there was a white woman who was pregnant crossing the road who was yelling at her, she could just go, this white person accosted me for no reason. I'm just driving while black, and here she is yelling at me, leaving out, you know, that little fact that she almost ran the person over and the person's 8.5 months pregnant, right? But because I was black, she just stopped recording and got on her way. And so this is what I see when I see Sha'Carri doing this. I see her setting up herself to look like a victim when all she had to do was listen, right? And maybe, by the way, she would have been more willing to listen had people had stopped handing her excuses in life. Sha'Carri, these things are not happening to you. These incidences are not happening to you because you're black in the world. They're not happening to you because you're a victim in the world. They're not happening to you because of both circumstances. They're happening to you because you are creating these scenarios. You are creating drama in your life. You may have had a very tough childhood, Sha'Carri. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that you were not given the best hand in life. But let me tell you something. You were handed some talents the rest of us don't have. And that gave you a literal leg up in life, okay? And you're not acting like it. You're not acting like you're grateful. You're acting like a brat. And somebody needs to tell you to button it up and behave well. That's it. Stop smoking pot. Stop yelling at random flight attendants. Get off of your phone. Listen, you're not special. And so I'm telling you that because I care, because I want you to go out in the world and I want you to be successful. I'm telling you that you are not a special snowflake and you are not a victim. Moving on, you guys, I think we should discuss Elon Musk's tweets over the weekend. I was a little disturbed. I don't know where he was going, so I don't want to immediately say that he condones the MAID program in Canada, the one that I have been talking about a lot. Basically, the government is sponsoring suicide. They're just going to allow you to kill yourself. Of course, they started with, if you're terminally ill and you're suffering, then you can kill yourself. And now they have arrived at signing off on individuals to kill themselves because they're poor. You don't like your life. You just go, you know what? Not enough money in the bank account. I would like to die. And in Canada, you can make that wish a reality. So Elon Musk was actually responding to somebody else on Twitter. He was responding to somebody who's a doctor. His name is Peter Diamandis. And Peter Diamandis asked the question, do you think humans should be able to choose when they die? And Elon Musk responded, absolutely. Freedom means freedom to die when you are sure that you want to. And I replied to that tweet and I said, you know, emotions are fleeting. Wanting to die can therefore be a fleeting emotion, one experienced quite often by angsty teenagers. There are many stories of people who attempted suicide and failed and do not regret that failure. I hope you do not support assisted suicide programs. You see, the problem with the second part of his tweet is he says, freedom means freedom to die when you are sure that you want to. And that, to me, is a very big gray area because, as I said, emotions are fleeting. You can be so sure you want to die in a moment. You can just think there is nothing left to life. So many terrible things are happening to me right now. I cannot see a path forward. But emotions are temporary. Yes. And that's why I give the example of an angsty teenager, right? An angsty teenager, you've just broken up with your boyfriend. I just remember how devastated I was when my first boyfriend broke up. It was just this guttural sadness. How could I see my life going forward without this high school relationship that I have? Would people just sign off on me dying? If I was so sure, if I was so convincing and sitting down with a doctor that I had nothing to live for, I had a bad childhood. I now am in love with this person. We've broken up. There's nothing left. Are they going to write me a prescription to die, to kill myself because I'm sure? And to me, when someone with his level of celebrity and his level of power and his genius says freedom means freedom to die when you are sure that you want to, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal that this is how Elon Musk feels. He said this, by the way, in addition to having said earlier that two of the worst possible curses in life are you will live forever or that you can have anything you want. And I don't necessarily disagree with those statements, but I'm not sure how they brought him to the idea that to be truly free, then you should also be able to kill yourself. And I hope that he believes that killing yourself is separate from the government helping you do that. And so I'm just going to report on that because you guys know how much I discuss how dark this program has become in Canada. And it is so obvious that this debate is going to soon land in America. It's already starting, but we will be debating this heavily. I foresee that in the next couple of years. And as I have claimed many times, you're going to start to see a bunch of transgendered individuals, people that were children and were lied to by their parents and doctors and an entire ecosystem of evil that are going to go, I have nothing left to live for. I'm in chronic pain. I have removed my private parts. I have to take pills every day. And I'm suffering from more depression, all because I was lied to as a kid. What more do I have to live for? And the government's going to say, okay, here you go, you can die. And that is, by the way, not something that I'm imagining. It used to be something that I imagined, but that is already taking place in Canada. The trans people are applying to die. And it's not because people didn't accept them as they were. It's because people lied to them and didn't tell them the truth. And that is my honest belief. Moving on to a bright spot meaning that this person is an absolute hero. I hope that there's like a GoFundMe for him. Actually, a Give, Send, Go, because GoFundMe will probably take it down because they too are sponsored by Big Pharma. Everybody is in Big Pharma's pockets, and everyone knows GoFundMe is super woke. A plastic surgeon in Utah has been charged for tossing out 2,000 COVID vaccines, giving kids saline shots instead of the real thing if their anti-vax parents requested it, and selling fake vaccine cards for $50 a pop. Love it. Dr. Michael J. Kirkmore, 58 years old, has been charged with alongside nurse Carrie D. Burjoin, 52 years old, and their neighbor, Kristen Jackson Anderson. Sandra Flores and another one of his staff members was charged. Is another one of his staff members. And he did this because he just didn't give kids the shot. He didn't give kids the clot shot. And now we know that it causes myocarditis. We've always known that. We know that children are at very low risk for COVID. We've always known that. We know that these COVID shots did not go through the thorough testing that vaccines in the past have gone through, and that there was a real effort to censor the information that parents needed to discern by themselves whether or not their children should get this vaccine shot. Rather, people were doing this under duress. You're going to lose your job. Your kid won't be able to go to school. You can't come to camp. And so this guy did something heroic. He gave parents an option to be able to still live their lives, right? Here is a fake vaccine card. Here's a fake vaccine shot to not harm their children, saline solution instead. And to basically, I deem him to be a hero because of this, right? He saved parents from having to make this terrible decision, knowingly harming their child, right? Knowingly harming. I say knowingly harmingly because these parents likely knew that another child had gotten this. We saw children that were dropping dead from heart attacks. We had examples of people that had just gotten the shot and then died in their sleep after, teenagers, right? We had the government in Singapore settle with one such teenager. Yeah, I think the person was 12 or 13 who had a massive heart attack, and they admitted that it was because of the vaccine. These parents obviously were reading these stories and said, I am not going to give my child this shot, but I also don't want to stop them from living their lives. What can I do? And Dr. Michael J. Kirkmore helped. That is what people should do. When evil descends, people should stand up and say, this is wrong and how can I help, right? And we've had circumstances like that. You know, when you talk about Germany in the 1930s, there are so many examples throughout history where people stood up and said, this is wrong, and they didn't listen to the government and they didn't listen to tyranny. And they were willing to get themselves in trouble to do the right thing. This is an example of a man who did the right thing, and now he is being charged, and we should pay attention to this case, and we should see how we can support this man. Like I said, if somebody puts together a Give, Send, Go, I will donate to it. There are some people who are taking issue with the fact that he sold the fake vaccine cards for a profit. He made $96,850. I would have purchased one. I'm a free market and I'm a capitalist. I don't particularly have an issue with that. I mean, you could say that he should have given them out for free, sure. But I think overall, this man did something that was heroic. And if it was something that saved people, and would it have been better if he had given it to them for free? Yes. I totally agree, but he was taking a risk. He was taking a risk, and now he is paying heavily for that risk. And so that $96,850 profit is likely going to be going to his legal defense. Again, I have no issues with this. I think this man is an absolute hero. Okay, guys, Black Rifle Coffee Company is on a mission to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement by serving you the best coffee that you've ever had. Thanks to your support, that dream has become a reality. This year alone, Black Rifle Coffee donated over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders while expanding their own team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. If you want to continue supporting this incredible company, go to blackriflecoffee.com and use promo code Candace at checkout for 10% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. Not only is their coffee amazing, Black Rifle is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders here in the United States. The coffee is truly one of a kind, but it's your support that gets gear, funding, and supplies into the hands of those on our front lines. Go to blackriflecoffee.com and use promo code Candace for 10% off. You can also find Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores near you. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee. Moving on to not a hero, but somebody who I am now enjoying this. You remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I brought up to you guys that we should pay attention to this George Santos story. He was essentially saying that the left was attacking him by digging into some of the facts, things that he purported to be facts, about his background, about his career, about where he came from. He said all of these things, and it turned out that none of it was true, at least according to the left. And at that time, I said, no, this is one of those circumstances where we should not listen just because it's the left. We should actually dig here. And then it turned out that it wasn't just the left. It was no conspiracy, that his story simply didn't check out. So George Santos is the representative from the 3rd District in New York. And recently, somebody had claimed that he used to be a drag queen. And he came out and he said, absolutely not. That is not true. That is a lie. This is a hideous attack. And then it's now turned out that it is real, that that is the truth. He did formerly used to be a drag queen. Right now, they're calling for him to resign. So Santos called the claims that he performed as a drag queen named Katara Ravachi in Brazil around 2008 false, while also calling the accusations that he swindled a disabled veteran out of medical dollars for his sick dog insane. However, it has now been discovered that a person named Anthony DeValder, which is an alias known to have been used by George Santos, was last edited in a Wikipedia post in 2011 to suggest that he had performed in drag. Just so you are clear, George Anthony DeValder Santos is his full name. So he was operating as Anthony DeValder, making a Wikipedia post from himself. This has been unearthed by Politico, by the way. And in the post, which was littered with spelling errors, he said that he first started his stage life at the age of 17 as a gay nightclub drag queen. And with that, he won several gay beauty pageants. The page also alleges that he had a cameo appearance on the Disney Channel sitcom Hannah Montana, which is misspelled, and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. It also alleges that he taped his very first movie with Uma Thurman, and Alicia Silverstone is in the movie, The Invasion. And that film, by the way, which was released in 2007 and stars Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, none of those people are listed in the Wikipedia entry. So essentially, he is pretty caught having edited his own Wikipedia page from back in the day. Political is obviously reporting on this, as they should be. What are we going to do with the fact that George Santos, who presented himself as a staunch conservative Republican with a background in banking, is none of those things? In fact, he is or was a drag queen in Brazil pretending to be an actor with a lot of Hollywood appearances and flicks, and none of it's true. And here's what I will say. The story is now somewhat funny to me. I mean, it's incredible that the public could have been defrauded. It just begs the question that who is responsible for going through these candidates? I just don't get it. We've got a stripper. We've got George Santos, who is a drag queen, and the public didn't know about any of this until these people make it pretty far and are able to raise tons of money. Is this supposed to be the job of the RNC? Is this what the RNC is supposed to be doing, like doing a basic background check so that the public knows? I don't know. But I am going to say that despite calls to resign, he doesn't have to. He's probably not going to. He's made it clear. I mean, this is a classic example. This guy did it. You know how they say fake it till you make it? Well, George Santos, by golly, he's done it. He has faked it all the way, and he has made it to Capitol Hill. I can't even fault him anymore. I find the story to be so bizarre and so crazy. And there's really nothing we can do about it but learn our lesson. And I implore you that wherever you vote, do not trust that the information will come out and that some journalist will discover it. Research these people on your own. Moving on, don't worry, guys. I have saved the best story for last. The best story is regarding a girl named Jessica Fernandez, who has taken to Twitter and to TikTok to recount a horrific experience that she had at the gym. I'll read you her tweets. She wrote, "This guy kept making me extremely uncomfortable at the gym. This is why I'll end up crying on stream because I feel so grossed out at times with the amount of sexualization I experience. Hopefully, this spreads awareness for girls who experience this type of treatment at the gym." She also tweeted, "I mind my business and make sure to look unapproachable because I am only there to film gym vlogs and work on my profession in the gym. I wouldn't be doing this for attention at all. I don't trust random strangers. No person should. You don't know their intentions. I can see how this makes me look like I have an inflated ego, but I am an attractive girl in a beauty standard sense, and I get extremely sexually harassed online, and it makes trusting random strangers that approach me trigger my trauma, which is why I respond this way. I am also extremely antisocial, and being hit on is never a compliment to me. I don't like to be approached. I haven't dated for a year because I despise being sexualized. It happens anyway, and I get frustrated. It's normal for girls to feel this way because it happens often." Yeah, that sounds like a girl who experienced a trauma. Definitely, that sounds like a girl who experienced a trauma at the gym. And so, obviously, we all wanted to know, what did this guy do? And thankfully, she had a video. She was recording him. And you're not going to believe it, guys. He glanced at her, I think, 5 times. Let's actually just watch this video because it's just so insane.
"This is how to not approach girls at the gym.
I hate this. I hate when there's sweet eyes. It makes me so uncomfortable. Feral.
He's glanced and she's screaming, feral.
Catch people. Act. Oh, this is nothing.
It's a lot of time passing.
Okay, we're gonna move on to the 35 now. I want you to watch very carefully.
He has not looked at her. Oh my gosh. He stared. He did not stare, actually. He glanced. She caught him glancing her way. And if you're wondering why he's glancing, he's now glanced about 4 times. He walks over and he asks her if she needs help putting the big weight on the barbell. And she says no. And then you don't see him again. So he comes over. You see him glance about 5 times as she's starting to adjust the weight. And he comes over and he asks her, "Do you need help?" And she says, "No, I'm fine. It's all good. It's all fine, whatever." And she's having a full internal breakdown, calling him feral. So much so that she took to Twitter to document this man essentially being kind and asking her if she needed help with the weight. I mean, how do people not feel compelled to defend men when circumstances like this happen? This guy is at the gym minding his business. When you're at the gym, you will glance the other way. I have glanced at people in the gym. Sometimes I'm just watching a guy with his weights. I'm like, is he really going to be able to lift all that? And I glancing 5 times. I mean, these were not stares. A stare would indicate that he had to have held the look for longer than 3 seconds. He doesn't. It's a glance, as in checking your surroundings. But it's her way. And then he sees her with this very big barbell, offers if she needs help. She says no, and he walks away. We never see him again. But this has represented some trauma for her. Maybe something's happened to her, you're thinking. Maybe something happened in her history that makes her fearful of men. Don't mind the fact that she is dressed in the shortest possible shorts that she could possibly find to go to the gym. I'm not saying she can't, but I'm saying for someone that says she absolutely hates all forms of attention from men, you would wonder, why would you wear this, right? Are you expecting people not, a woman, I would look at a person that was wearing shorts that was this short, right? Just because, like, I'm wondering how far can you get that up your butt before you have a wedgie? So it's just, I'm curious, how far can you get up your butt before you have a wedgie? I'm not trying to sexualize her. I'm just, you know, curious. Just curious. But no, guys, it gets worse. So Jessica Fernandez, who was so traumatized by this man glancing 5 times and then asking her if she needed help with her weight, turns out that if you want to, you can subscribe to her fan house. If you're wondering what fan house is, you can pay $9.99 a month. Here is actually what she's pinned to her fan house. "Hey, everyone, welcome to my fan house. From group chats with the community to direct messaging me, respectfully, please, to pay per view content and special requests. Rather than the tiers on Patreon where you wait for content. You can get it how you want, when you want. I hope this platform is able to bring the community together and provide a place for friendships to blossom. Friendship she's looking for as she is dressed in a Playboy Bunny costume. Yeah, she's in a Playboy Bunny costume, holding her breasts, wearing stockings, and bending over with bunny ears. You guys know how much I hate bunnies. Well, Jessica Fernandez is wearing bunny ears. And by the way, I want to be very clear. Even though she's dressed seductively, holding her breasts, and wearing a Playboy Bunny costume in this pay-per-view subscription service fan house, she does not want your attention. If you think she looks a little suggestive there, then the fault is on you, because what's wrong with you? Why would you look at a girl in a Playboy Bunny costume? Everybody knows that the Playboy Bunnies were doing things that were highly moral at Hugh Hefner's house. They moved in with that 80-year-old millionaire and hopped around like bunnies and kissed him and were his, called themselves his girlfriend, because they were setting the bar for morality, because they were deeply faithful Christians. That's why. And if you think otherwise, if you've maybe watched a documentary and saw that they were all on drugs and they were all sleeping around, and a lot of these women went on to speak about all the disgusting things that they did, if you, shame on you, because Jessica Fernandez is not wearing that costume for that reason, just like she doesn't wear her booty shorts, barely booty shorts, for that reason as well. She does it because she's scared of guys. All I can say to that, Jessica, is you are the reason I hate modern feminism. And you are the reason that people like Andrew Tate exist. I'll guarantee you know what that guy's probably listening to? He's probably listening to Andrew Tate in his ears, who is saying it's okay to be a man because you have people that are pretending that everything you do makes you a predator. You're not allowed to exist. If you are, if you glance, you are wrong. So when somebody comes around and says, no, you are right, and gives you the opposite sort of extreme, it's likely that men are going to lean toward that because women are acting insane. She is everything that is wrong with modern feminism. I'm sure she'll get a bunch of subscriptions for people to not look at her in her Playboy Bunny costume. All right, guys, the next portion of the show is going to be available exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. I'm going to be reading your comments and I will be answering your questions. So if you are not yet a member, go ahead and click the link in the description and subscribe right now.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.